some Mariah for you to start your morning of Black Friday shopping off. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal here on WGN, filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. They will be back with you on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have them back. It's going to be great to be here for the next couple hours sharing all of your Black Friday deals, things that you can do, know, enjoy, experience. We're going to be covering a lot of news, too, so it's going to be all over the board today.
Well, as the news develops, which is going to be right outside our window, we will bring it to you live, of course. We are talking about the protests, rallies, march, walks. I'm not sure exactly what it's being called or classified as, but that is gathering at 11. They're planning on stepping off, heading north on Michigan Avenue from Wacker and Michigan, and from our Vista, which is in the Allstate Showcase studio, we see nothing. There is no one gathering as of right now. Here's who is gathering: news media. We've got trucks outside, and we have police that are present. I'm not seeing any big groups of police, but we're seeing a lot of foot traffic, which is typical for a Black Friday anyway.
Yep, and we're going to keep you posted on all of those things and any events as they happen and keep you tied into the news. So many people around the country and certainly in Chicago that are basking in the glow of another great Thanksgiving. I have got to give a shout out to my mom, parents, for an amazing team photo of Thanksgiving delights, the turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, personally mashed by Dave Pate. And also, too, this is the latest incarnation of his martini series. Of course, we know about the famous one with the green Tabasco. This one does not disappoint as well. This was the Dave Pate's pumpkin pie martini. And here's how you make it. We'll have it up at flavorhd.com a little bit later. 8 ounces of Bombay Sapphire. That's your favorite. 4 ounces of pumpkin spice puree. 2 teaspoons of brown sugar, 2 dashes of vanilla extract, 2 dashes ground cinnamon, 2 dashes of, yes, Tabasco green. Shake it. And then you garnish it with some nutmeg shavings. It was dessert in a glass. It's 5 o'clock someplace, and enjoy it sometime this weekend.
I feel like he's like the man that deep fries everything, like the deep fried Twinkie or the deep fried Milky Way. I feel like he works on this martini all year.
Well, you know, when you're the martini whisperer, right, where people clamor for new additions. And this one's so different than the other one, Hannah, which you have tried.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, if I like a martini, who cares what you like?
Who
new
cares?
Edition?
Well,
yeah,
this
right?
is the newest of the newest editions. Get out there and call Mr. Telephone Man, right? Tell your friends all about it.
All right. So that sounds delicious. My Thanksgiving will, at this point, is now Saturday. We don't know when it is.
Is it because it's a surprise, right? It's going to be like
impromptu. It's because, as
we
I mentioned
Grayson
earlier,
not feeling well.
Right, Grayson is still sick and sick enough that I'm like, yeah, people don't need to come over. We don't need to expose people to that. And I don't want to say like, hey, Thanksgiving, but, you know, he's got the plague. So, yeah, we're just moving it. But so I had Bar Louie takeout last night.
Nice, always.
So thank you to the Bar Louie people for being open and creating incredibly delicious street tacos, because
nice.
they were awesome.
Hey, you know, I think street tacos could be good for Thanksgiving. I think no rules, right? And Black Friday has got no rules. Remember,
had the pilgrims had food carts, they would have had street tacos.
We would have like right vistas and paintings of street tacos and pilgrims and people enjoying those. There's as far as like the rules on Black Friday. Remember, Hannah, when it used to be, hey, we're going to be open at 4 a.m. and just kind of gather outside, ready for a fight outside the Walmart. Then it changed. Well, we'll be open at 2, and then we'll be open at midnight. And now there is no, it's so different.
It is so different. And actually, I was amused. I do a long drive on North Avenue to get in here, and the biggest crowd I saw in a parking lot.
Off track betting.
Nope. No. And it wasn't, you know, like a hotel. Like everybody was in from out of town. It was Menards.
Hey, don't underestimate
I
the
go
home
past
improvement crowd.
Multiple Targets. I go past a ton of different retail establishments, including a mall. And yet, no, it was Menards.
So it was a Black Friday deal on 2x4s?
Apparently, it was a Black Friday deal at like 7:30 in the morning. You had to be there for whatever it was. The other thing I saw coming in that I did not understand, Eisenhower, left lane, left shoulder. Tumbleweed.
Yeah, right. So you think, where did it come from?
Where did tumbleweed come from?
Is this an imported tumbleweed?
It must have been. People came in from a place where tumbleweed is local.
How big?
over like this. If you're watching on WGNRadio.com, watch live. You see me making the...
Because they come different sizes. You know, you'll see some soccer ball, basketball. Then you see some maybe big as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. Person. No, this was a tumbleweed, and I was very amused by it, and I didn't know. There's weird things happened yesterday. I found a dead bird in the garage. I didn't. My husband did. And then brought me out to see the dead bird.
Hey, come look at this.
Yeah, like, I'm not making this up, really. And I was like, I don't want to... So I didn't know if that was an omen. That was a weird thing.
No. That falls in the category, though, of, hey, this milk is spoiled. Here, taste.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's a dead bird. Here, look at this.
No, like, hey, you need to be as creeped out as I am. Now what do we do? And I'm like, well, garbage is delayed because of the holiday. So I guess I don't know. Anyway, great, great organization coming up next. Brittany's Trees, which is local. It's based out in Carroll Stream. Really great story behind it. And we have one of the main founders, Jim Guthrie, is going to be joining us after this next break. Hannah Stanley, Dave Neal filling in for Bill and Wendy. They will be back with you in all their glory on Monday. Stay tuned to WGN.
WGN. It is Dave Neal and Hannah Stanley in on Black Friday. Some Christmas music playing. It is the official, the traditional official start of the holiday, and certainly the holiday shopping season, holiday giving season, holiday doing season. And it's great to be here, even though it's rainy and a little bit warmer.
It's rainy and a little bit, it's warmer, which is great. The rain is a little bit, I don't know, confusing, if you will. But something that is not stopping despite the rain is the good work of the people from Brittany's Trees. Jim Guthrie, one of the founders of Brittany's Trees, joins us. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Hannah. How you doing?
I am so good. I have talked with you before, and this year you're actually delivering a Brittany's Tree to my home in a matter of minutes, I'm guessing. But tell me what exactly Brittany's Trees is as an organization and a focus.
Yeah, I mean, Brittany's Trees, it's a charitable organization. We've been doing this. This is our 11th year. And in Carroll Stream, my next-door neighbor, Brittany Valine, unfortunately had passed away at a very young age of 8 years old. And she had long QT syndrome. And it's a very unknown thing that's with young kids or with young adults. And unfortunately, it's a genetic heart disorder that can cause sudden death. And so it happened in 2005, and what I thought would be a good idea is if we can honor her memory, because she just touched everybody's lives, whether it's the family, her classmates, her neighbors. I thought it'd be a good idea if we were to raise money and give it to the SADS Foundation, which is trying to find a cure for long QT syndrome. And we do that by setting up Christmas trees in neighbors' front yards all around Chicagoland area.
I do not live in Carroll Stream, but I was able to still get one of these trees brought out to my house. And I have to tell you, people, I was shocked at how affordable it is. And what that does is enable you guys to be able to help other people and spread Brittany's white light throughout the suburbs.
Absolutely. You know, the first year when we did it, it was just our block. We had 22 trees. And then people started coming by saying, oh, you guys really do a great job of celebrating Christmas. And we kind of said, you know, it's not really so much a Christmas decoration. We're doing it to honor a girl's memory. And so they, neighbors said, hey, do you mind can you come to our street? Can you do it in our block? We're like, yeah. So the second year was like 65 trees. The third year was 125. And, like I said, this is our 11th year, and we're going to do 1,750 trees all throughout Chicagoland area.
I love this. They were sold out by about Halloween this year. When do you guys start taking orders for next year?
We start taking orders on Labor Day, and we have a website, brittanys-trees.com, and you're absolutely right. Kind of like by Halloween, we're sold out. It's been spread by word of mouth, and people have just been, the response has been overwhelmingly, it's been fantastic.
Well, 1,750 trees, they were $40, people. They come to your house, and they put a stake in your yard, they tie the tree up, and it's already pre-lit.
Yeah, I mean, people say, hey, you should be charging, $100 for that. You're coming out, delivering it to my house, you're setting it up, and you have all the, the decorations. But, we're not doing this to do it for 100 trees. We're doing it to raise awareness for long QT syndrome. And the more people that can hear about Brittany's story, the better for long QT syndrome and the better for the SADS Foundation.
Well, yeah.
Well, Jim, just one of those things, and you know that is the main cause. Obviously, it's a beautiful situation, so it is one of those things that people can walk around, drive around, and enjoy in the neighborhoods. But you're raising awareness and funds for long QT syndrome. For those people that aren't aware of it, like, what is it? You know, for those people afflicted with it, what are they experiencing?
It's a genetic heart disorder, and it typically happens early on to young children. So if you see somebody fainting, if it's in a gym class or if it's, you know, playing a football game or soccer outside, and if they faint, you know, sometimes people attribute it to being it's too hot or they didn't have enough, you know, they didn't have a good breakfast or anything. But you should really go take a look at it and get it checked out, because fainting is probably one of the more significant signs that something is not right. You know, young kids really just shouldn't be fainting. And so it is genetic. So if you get it checked out, you know, through medication, you know, they're still doing a lot of research. Through medication, they're trying to control it, but sometimes it's still too new.
Tell me a little bit more about the foundation that this money is going to.
It's going to the SADS Foundation, and the SADS Foundation stands for Sudden Arrhythmia Death Syndrome. It's a wonderful organization out in Salt Lake City. There's about five people there, and on their board sits the people from the Mayo Clinic. And again, their main mission is to just try to do the research to try to find out what is long QT syndrome. How do you, you know, how can you, you know, you cure it? And also, more importantly, just to provide support to the families who have been affected, you know, by long QT syndrome, because it's so new. And obviously, you know, sometimes there's bad outcomes from it.
It's so unfortunate that these diseases and afflictions and things don't necessarily get as much attention because they don't affect as many people. And that's what I love about what you guys are doing, is it's absolutely grassroots. But the money that you're raising, and it grows exponentially every year, is really making a big impact. It's a huge portion of what they're able to do.
Yeah, it's making a great impact. There's about, for the SADS Foundation, there's maybe 24 or 25 different people throughout the country that are trying to give back to the SADS Foundation, whether they're doing like an Oktoberfest or a golf outing or like a dinner dance. We've been doing this for 11 years, and we're considered the largest contributor for the SADS Foundation. Last year we donated $31,000, and I think that wow, with some of the unbelievable sponsors that we have and just the participation from everybody, you know, we're going to donate more than $35,000.
Well, Jim, here's one of the most important things, too, is that there are so many different great causes out there and certainly different afflictions that people are dealing with that deserve recognition. But this one is one of those that really sneaks up on people. I mean, in the medical profession, especially with kids and checkups and all that, they're going for the odds. This is something that's against the odds, that may look like something else. And oftentimes, once you realize what it is, it just gets reported as an unknown or undiagnosed heart condition, right? Mm-hmm. So to be on
That's
top
correct.
Of this and let people know to get things checked out, I think is absolutely so important so people don't get blindsided.
Yep, you're 100% on.
All right, the website again is Brittany's Trees, BRITTANYS trees.org.
Well, it's Brittany's-trees.com.
.com. Yep. See, I had it 16. Oh, it's right in front of me. It's right in front of me. I was that involved in trying to make sure people know about it. But get on there, look it over, and put a reminder in your calendar after Labor Day that to make this as one of your donations. And you get to celebrate it and think about it every day when you leave your house. You see this Christmas tree with white lights in your front yard.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And even though that we're sold out of trees, people can still make a donation for $25 or $50 on the website.
And there's great T-shirts and long sleeve T-shirts and things that you can purchase as well that will help along with the cause. Jim, I know you're busy. I know you're delivering trees. I can't thank you enough for taking time to tell us more about this.
I can't thank you for promoting it. It's great, and I definitely appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much for your time. Brittany's-trees.com. Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal filling in today for Bill and Wendy, who are back with you on Monday on WGN.
Sorry, I was doo-dooing along.
I know. Hannah Stanley. This is Straight No Chaser. Ah, I love this. This is their version of 12 Days of Christmas.
Musical newsmen.
Straight No Chaser. Outstanding Ponce brother. Contribution to our Christmas repertoire. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We will be keeping you informed of all that is happening on Michigan Avenue. The protesters are gathering right here in Pioneer Court behind us. And we have Bob Kessler, newsman Bob Kessler, in studio with us, and also a reporter outside. Susan Berkus is outside. So as things develop, we will be bringing them to you. But in the meantime,
in the meantime, it is Black Friday, which has been over the last, you know, maybe 15 or so years, such a big part not only of the economy,
the culture,
certainly the holiday culture, and certainly the holiday shopping season. But it has changed so much, and to navigate that landscape, we've got one of our guests on. He is the Sigmund Edelston Professor of Marketing at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, the one and only Jean-Pierre Dubé. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much.
It is one of those things that it has become bigger than itself almost, Black Friday, and then now they've just spread it out so it's just Black November. It's just everybody's like, get your Black Friday deal now, and I'm like, but it's Halloween. Is it diminishing, or is this something that's still status quo?
Well, you're definitely right that the meaning of the Black Friday sale is becoming a little bit unclear. There's been some data analysis done in the last year, which shows that, in fact, the best deals are occurring not on Black Friday, but the week before in stores and on Cyber Money on the Internet. So if anything, Black Friday is really degenerating into a marketing event where you promote deals, but the actual prices may not be the best of the season.
Here's the thing. You've got this fine line. It's obviously something that the shopping community, that a lot of the, you know, distributors, marketers, stores, they've got something here. They've got our attention. We know to pay attention, and we know to buy when it's got that Black Friday label on it, regardless of the day or so. How do they kind of straddle that line to keep it something that we're doing, but also keep it special? It's like eggnog all year doesn't work, turkey all year doesn't work. How do you keep Black Friday special?
Well, I think you're actually hit the nail on the head. It's not special anymore. In fact, we're already hearing early reports that Black Friday, the traffic is a little disappointing this year. I think people now just view it, as you said, November shopping season, and the stores are kind of at fault for this, although in some ways it's not entirely their fault. This is kind of a trap. You know, we all know that people start thinking about Christmas shopping on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so stores figuring this out start advertising prices and deals, promotions, anything they can to get that big pool of shoppers into their stores. And so if I'm the only one who can do this, it's in my interest, I'm going to win that big pool of shoppers. If all my competitors are doing it, now I definitely have to do it just to defend myself. And the result, all the stores are doing these deals. Now, what do you do when you're all doing a deal? You need to figure out a way to preempt all these competitors. And this is what we've seen in the last 5 years. Black Friday has been creeping forward in time. In 2011, it became Black Thursday night at midnight. And then over time, in the last couple of years, Black Thursday afternoon at 6 p.m. And now stores are opening first thing in the morning on Thanksgiving Thursday. So as you said, this is just becoming it's a degenerative thing where the whole meaning is being lost. And as I said earlier, the result, we're not seeing the kind of Black Friday traffic that we were used to in past years.
Yeah, Target did a thing this past Wednesday where many of their Black Friday deals were available on Wednesday. And when I started in the morning, I was searching for the item that I wanted, which happened to be the Apple Watch. And online, there were very, very many, both available for ordering to have shipped and for pickup in the store. And by the time I got home, they were almost all gone. So people who waited until Black Friday would have missed out entirely on that particular item. What are you seeing as maybe the best deal this year?
Well, I don't have any data yet, so this is something I can't really comment on. That's the unfortunate part of data analysis. It's always in hindsight. although the people who might be the most interesting to consult with at this point might be the mobile phone companies. You know, they've already been really interesting demonstrations in past Black Fridays that just by counting how many mobile phones through their GPSs, that is, are actually entering into parking lots of big stores, you can get a pretty good early read on what Black Friday sales are going to look like. Well, so I saw a study on this at Macy's a year ago.
Well, you're seeing here's the thing is instead of that dynamic where people kind of, wait in a parking lot, whether it's earlier or whether it's the day before, now you're seeing the manufacturers of the products that usually are for sale in those stores actually kind of preempting the whole situation and going directly to the people. You mentioned the cell phones. Mm-hmm. I saw ads yesterday where Verizon had 10-inch tablets for $50 for that day. And then you're seeing manufacturers of different TVs or Fitbit like actually going to the people, having a commercial on and say, forget about going to Best Buy or whatever for it. Just come straight to us and we'll give you the deal.
That's right. Well, it's been a really interesting opportunity as more and more of that sales volume moves onto the internet and into the digital domain that manufacturers can start disintermediating. They're like, wow, we don't even need the retailer anymore.
Right.
In some sense, the retailers created this phenomenon and I guess with the internet in hand, have handed it over to the manufacturers in some cases.
Interesting
observation.
Has this shifted with people being able to be so much more shopping savvy, where I can walk in and say that deal isn't that great because here on my phone I can scan it and look at 4,700 other prices and figure out that if I walk across the street it's $50 cheaper. So is that kind of gone hand in hand with the diminishing of the power of Black Friday?
Well, there's the paradox. I don't think so. I just don't think people actually pay attention to whether or not the price is good or bad. I think people just respond to the sale sign. You would be amazed to see how poor consumer shopping knowledge is. This is something academics have known for a long time. Folks doing research would do things as simple as just running a survey where you intercept people as they're leaving a retail store, having just made a purchase. And you, especially in a place like where groceries, where you have many different products, you just ask people, were you a careful shopper? They always answer yes. They want to do what best they can with their budget. Then you randomly take things out of their bags, stuff they just bought, ask them what they paid. They're off by a margin of plus or minus 15%. Wow. People have no idea what they paid.
Some of the items that are out there that people are kind of talking about that are some of the hot items for Christmas or for the holidays, and the manufacturers are involved, but then also some of the stores are kind of upping the ante too. So Target has Beats headphones for $96 as opposed to the $199. Walmart iPad minis $199, normally at least $100 more. And then iTunes is even getting involved too, $6.99 albums for the next through Monday. So, I mean, this is, everybody's kind of doing their thing, but I agree, if you can go direct to the people, you're ahead of the game for sure.
And certainly what you've just identified are what I would call some very high salience prices. They're sort of must-have kinds of products. Everybody knows the price. They're heavily advertised. So you lure the people to your website or lure them into your store, whatever it may be, virtual or physical, using those must-have item prices. And then once you got that customer there, you then lure them to other items with sales signs, and that's where I suspect the price knowledge may be lacking. And where a Verizon might not have the advantage of a Walmart or a Target is, I'm not sure whether Verizon have as many things they can actually sell that customer once they bring them to the website. So now the question is, does Verizon really want to sell someone a discounted item? You're right. Just basically handing over margin. Target does, because then you're going to go shop and buy other stuff.
We were just talking about this off air where I have to, because I did in fact purchase the Apple Watch because I got the $100 gift card, and I'm going to pass that savings right back to Target because I have other things to get while I'm there.
Oh, well, there you go. It's like your classic razors and blades pricing.
Right.
They'll sell you a cheap razor, in this case an Apple iWatch, and then they're going to make all the money on the blades, which in this case is going to be all the other stuff you're going to buy at Target.
Are we finding better deals at the bricks and mortar locations or via the website and the apps?
That's a good question. The best data I've seen on that was by Adobe, and Adobe claimed that online sales in 2014 were actually better the week before than what was being paid at the Black Friday sales in the stores the day of.
Wow.
Wow. Well, just let the listeners know we're talking with Jean-Pierre Dubé. He is the professor at the Sigmund Edelson Marketing at University of Chicago Booth School of Business, talking about some of the dynamics of Black Friday. Here is something that I have always wondered. You know, you've got your Walmart, your Targets, they're standalone boxes, you know, in the middle of a street somewhere. They're not typically associated or attached with malls. What are the thought process? Usually malls would get a bunch of, you know, people could go in many, many stores. People would do all their Christmas shopping at one place and at one time. I mean, are we seeing the end of the traditional big shopping mall?
That's a very good question. I can tell you that one thing shopping malls have allegedly started doing in the past couple of years is actually threatening stores that refuse to be open on Black Friday or Thursday because the mall just needs that traffic. They need to have every store taking part because they want to get the customer into the mall. So if a big store, especially an anchor store, says we're not going to be open on Thanksgiving Day or we're not going to be open Black Friday for various reasons, that's bad for business at the mall.
Yeah, I have heard, as you've said, I've heard of fines being levied against stores by the mall, yep, in addition to the rent that they pay anyway. But we've seen the decline of malls in general anyway.
And not for normal demographic reasons. You've got one that may have great deals, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. I've seen malls, and there's one where my parents live, Hannah, you live out in St. Charles. There's a lot of people around there. The mall is dying. Even malls like Woodfield have been facing a lot of struggles. It's just changing.
Certainly when you start hearing these stories of malls levying fines and using what seem like pretty draconian tactics, you got to wonder, is this sort of a sign of something in decline?
Yeah, it really, it's very interesting, too, with the fact that so much of this Black Friday could be affected by the weather. We have terrible storms through a good portion of the country right now. That's going to keep some faint of heart at home, especially when they can get the same deals online.
Absolutely. You know, I think in the long term, we're going to have to start asking ourselves, what is the future of the shopping mall or even the physical retail store? And I've got to believe there are certain kinds of products where the customer really wants to go and buy it from a live person, either because it's very expensive, it's high quality, you know, luxury apparel, for example.
You got to try it on.
These are things we like to try it on. Yep. Yeah. Trying it on is part of the experience for some people. The problem is Black Friday and discounts seems totally at odds with the strategy of managing luxury goods. This is the last thing you want to be discounting.
Tell me, Professor, how is Small Business Saturday playing into this shopping weekend? Has it had a bigger foothold now that it's started kind of to be a bigger movement?
That's a good question. And the reason is that some of these stores that have really actively advertised that they will not be open on Black Friday and that, you know, their marketing of being closed on Black Friday certainly includes appeals to the worker and the worker's family and sort of these traditional core values. What we don't know yet is whether or not this is a genuine cultural and moralistic stance or whether this is just another marketing tactic. And what we also don't know is whether or not the customer will respond to this. It will be interesting to see if, A, those that were closed on Friday actually do generate some business by the types of customers who value tradition, and to the extent that they do not, will they remain closed in future years in spite of it not helping them with their business? Just remember, Macy's announced a few years ago it wouldn't open. It wouldn't open early for the Black Friday sales, saying that it espoused these kinds of traditional values, and the following year they were open Thursday evening.
All the benefit, and then they went right back.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. It's just hard to manage a business and at the same time trying to espouse these values that are at odds with your business.
Well, we know that the data, of course, looking in hindsight, you're going to be able to tell us just how bad of shoppers we were and how the scene is changing. People want to catch up with you and find out that as time moves forward. Where's some contact information or where people can catch up with you and all your research?
Well, definitely the booth website. You'll find through both my own faculty website and through the Kilt Center for Marketing. This is a website and center at the University of Chicago that manages and houses academic databases for research purposes from Nielsen. They're all geared towards retail. And we got a bunch of retailing experts at the University of Chicago. They're my fine colleagues. So come to our website, take a look at our research, go to the Kilt Center website, and take a look at the kind of work that's being done at the University of Chicago.
Well, give us one of the actual addresses for that website.
Sure. We have the booth website, of course. If you want the Kilt Center website, I always Google it. I'm actually end up doing a plug for Google on this. Goodness, I'm put on the spot.
That's okay.
Not knowing my own URL.
We'll just Google you.
The research.chicagobooth.edu/kilts.
Jean-Pierre Dubay, of course, keep up with him. He has hand on the pulse of Black Friday and so much more. Thanks so much for being on WGN today.
Thank you all, and enjoy your holiday weekend.
You as well. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in on WGN for Bill and Wendy. They'll be back with you on Monday, and we'll be back with you right after this. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, who will return to your airwaves here on WGN on Monday. We have Bob Kessler sitting in the studio with us, and we are noticing the gathering of people down here on Michigan Avenue, right at the Pioneer Court. Honestly, I am There's a lot of people.
Yeah,
here.
It's really grown in the last, I'd say, 20 minutes or so. I mean, at the 10:30 news, it looked like there are a few dozen people over there, but it's quite a few more right now.
It really is.
A police presence, there's a number of different officers, some on bicycles, and actually able to kind of be mobile in the situation, but things seem pretty peaceful at this point.
They are. There's actually a big group of police officers on their bikes by the, I guess it used to be the Equity Building. I don't know what they call it, or the Equitable Building, right behind us. And there they are. They're actually standing under the parapet there so they don't get wet, because it is kind of drizzly and miserable out there.
It is, although it has diminished a lot. When I came in, it was much more torrential, and now it's just drizzling. So I think what we're going to do is be able to see them as they step off. We're going to take a quick break so that we're able to get you into news and we can report. We have Susan Berkus, who will be reporting out on the street as well. Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here on WGN. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal with you back again filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We have a few seconds before we get you to the news. Bob Kessler is joining us in studio as we prepare. Susan Berkus is going to be out on the street and actually is out on the street, and we can go to her now. Susan Berkus, what are you seeing out there?
Well, Hannah, lots of folks have come out here to participate in this protest. It's very calm. Crowds are building. Lots of signs around. Stop police terror. There is a large police presence out here. And so far, it's pretty mellow, but folks seem very serious, and it's a very somber mood out here. More people than you might expect for such a rainy kind of damp Friday morning.
Well, Susan, so you can see the crowd gathering. It seems peaceful at this point. We've mentioned that there is a bicycle riding police presence. Is there any official program started? Have any speakers started talking? Has anything official started yet?
No, nothing official has started yet. And in addition to the police on bikes, there's just a lot of police on foot and around, and folks gathering with cups of coffee. Looks like they're getting started for some speeches, but not yet. And even as I stand here, just more and more people showing up for this, what's supposed to be a peaceful protest.
All right, Susan, we're going to check back in with you in a sec. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal coming to you live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, filling in today for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. I'm actually periscoping live, which is what Periscope
does. You're not doing enough as it is, Hannah. You're doing a radio show.
I'm running the board. I'm doing the radio. But for those of you who want to see what we are seeing from inside the studio as the protesters are going along, you can do so on Periscope, which is WGN Girls Night is my Periscope handle. And it is incredibly peaceful and thus far slow moving. It seemed like they started moving. The police moved ahead, and then now they're just kind of stalled.
I don't know if they're kind of doing it in sections, or maybe we can't tell right now. Maybe if you want to, not that you're not doing enough as it is. I was going to say you could bring up that microphone outside, and we can hear what's going on.
Well, also, but, two moms. Susan Berkus was actually out in the middle of it, and she was able to say that it. At 11 o'clock, there wasn't an official program, no speakers yet. It seems as though they've started to move. It certainly is peaceful, but it looks like, guys, there's still something happening on Pioneer Court.
It reminds me a little bit of in 2008 when President Obama was elected. There was just kind of people just gathered on Michigan Avenue, and the street was just kind of closed off, and people were sort of milling.
But they were headed towards Millennium Park because that was where the big rally and fest was. Yeah. I guess that would I think it was a fest
was a
really
fest.
When
yeah.
he was
yeah.
when obviously, he was elected. I have the audio that you can hear that's kind of white noise at the moment. That is actually the street microphone from Michigan Avenue that we have right outside the Showcase Studio. And as of right now, there's nothing to hear.
Not really. Just
it's white noise.
Yep. People, umbrellas.
Part of the purpose that has been mentioned by some of the leaders or the organizers is to disrupt the traffic, at least the shopping traffic on Michigan Avenue, and a good percentage of it, along with the police officers and the news crews, followed along and then went down north on Michigan Avenue. But like I said, there's still a big group of people here.
Susan, you are out there on the street. Susan Berkus, can you tell us what the signs say? I'm seeing a lot of people holding signs up.
Yes, you know what? It's kind of interesting. The protest is broken into two parts. There's still, as you guys can see, a large mass of people right outside Tribune Tower in Pioneer Court. But another mass has moved towards more towards the Illinois Michigan Avenue intersection, and they're the most vocal group. So that part you can't really catch with the street noise, and they're chanting, "How many more videos?" You know, like how many more videos like this are going to turn up and protesting that. And most of the police are down here at this intersection, and there are some folks speaking. It's very loud down here. And some of the signs are saying stop police terror. There are just a large assortment of signs. And, of course, calling for the firing of Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy.
Well, what we can see right now, and you can watch live on Periscope, which is WGN Girls Night, as I'm having this be live, is that this side, the east side of Michigan Avenue from the river going north, is closed. It is shut off to traffic. There are people within the street, and it almost looks as if they've gone onto the west side of Michigan Avenue as well. There are cars that are on there, but they're no longer moving.
And it looks as though the bulk of the crowd that was still remaining here in Pioneer Court with some of the speakers that Susan had mentioned is actually sort of migrating north as well a little bit, but at a very slow pace, maybe a little bit at a time.
Little bit at a time. They are beginning to move. Susan has mentioned that it appears to be several stages of protesters. This is far larger than I had anticipated. Bob, how many people would you estimate?
We're well into the four figures.
I agree.
So, but the other thing, I mean, obviously this is a racial issue, but the makeup of the crowd is quite racially diverse here.
Very diverse, yeah. Very diverse. And it is, it's an interesting mix of people who appear to be spectators or appear to be shoppers who are trying to just sort of get around or at least give them space. Yeah. And then definitely people who are moving. We're seeing some rainbow push signs, but a lot of signs in the street that are obviously handmade.
There's a really big one. Stop police terror. Which side are you on?
This is the microphone from the outside our studio. Yeah. So you can hear them chanting. We'll go to that in just a moment. Can you make out, Bob, what they're saying? It says stop.
Something 15 times.
I'm hearing 16 shots. All right, they are progressing. We are definitely over 1,000. Getting more, maybe towards 2,000 or 3,000 people as of right now, and I'm guessing people will gather as they progress. We have effectively shut down both sides of Michigan Avenue at this point.
And the side looks, at least the sidewalk in front of us looks open. People can get through that want to, who maybe they're not participating, but it's a lot of people seem to be even walking from the sidewalk and then they walk onto the street to participate.
And we did see our very own John Williams outside as well, so we may have him in at some point before the end of our shift here.
Absolutely. He's not only in town, but we welcome his contribution of what is happening. And what a great example of peaceful protest thus far. They've gathered, they announced what they were going to do and what their intentions were, and thus far are really just progressing as they move up the street in a peaceful manner. Although they don't look like they're progressing very much. Nobody's really moving.
With that number of people, I don't think you just can't move that fast. And they have about, how far is it? We're at 400. It's about, a half mile up to, or a little more than a half mile?
Yeah, I believe it's called the Magnificent Mile.
Yes.
It is. Okay. I believe it's right at a mile. Okay.
The chant is continuing. And of course, they're kind of going a few feet, then stopping and then chanting. But it seems sort of organized. Do we have Susan still in line? Can she give us kind of some insight into who happens to be maybe leading the chant or kind of directing the crowd?
Yes, you know, I'm keeping up with the front of the march here along Michigan Avenue, and the front of the protest is up near Ohio Street. hearing lots of horns, and then people on the westbound or rather on the southbound side of Michigan Avenue not happy. But it's the cars are stopped, and they're chanting quite loudly. Justice for Laquan McDonald. And now the protest is stopped, and folks are speaking. I can't exactly make out the words because it's really quite loud at this point in the protest. It's peaceful, but people are fired up, and people are mad.
Again, I am bringing this on Periscope live to you from our view from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I can see the end of the protesters. I can see where it ends. And so I would guess 2,000 to 3,000 people,
yeah,
perhaps, are moving. They are currently moving. Again, it is WGN Girls Night. If you want to see what we are seeing, that is on Periscope live right now. This is fantastic that they are moving in such an orderly manner, and we've yet to see anything. We've not heard foul language. We haven't seen anything that would be disorderly.
No, it has been pretty peaceful.
Pretty peaceful. We know that they are headed on north on Michigan Avenue towards Water Tower Place. They have shut down traffic in both directions. I believe the police were anticipating the east side of Michigan Avenue to be closed because there had been no traffic for several minutes. That is where they were gathering in Pioneer Court. It was on the east side of Michigan Avenue. But now the city bus that has been out in front of us has been there for several minutes now.
Yeah, with this many people, they have to shut down both sides of the avenue. They couldn't fit them otherwise and keep the sidewalk open, which from what we can tell, the sidewalk is still open.
And the sidewalk is not barricaded. We saw trucks going past us, pardon me, earlier in our broadcast going past with the barricades, the blue police barricades that we've seen so frequently. And yet that is not the case here in front of our studios. And yet no one has gone by with a sign. Everyone is out in Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. It looks like there are police kind of at the caboose end of it here, sort of keeping things moving. There's a police car, state police car.
Absolutely. Again, I am broadcasting on Periscope and on WGN Radio. Here we are bringing you the live broadcast of the protest that is going north on Michigan Avenue. It started right at the river here in Pioneer Court outside our windows. And we are at the tail end of this broadcast. Even the news media is moving along. We got a Ponce brother going past us right now. We were just talking about them. Little straight no chaser happening here. But again, Periscope WGN Girls Night, if you do wish to see the end of it, and I will make it available for viewing afterwards. Let's take a quick break as this goes past us, and we will come back to you immediately if anything changes. Hannah Stanley, Bob Kessler on news, Dane Neal sitting in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on WGN. We will be with you until noon, and we have Bob Kessler sitting in studio with us, as well as we brought you what is now done, the Michigan Avenue protest. It's not done. It's just done
just
for
past
us.
Yeah. And then, as you noted, as soon as they got past us, the rain kicked in.
The rain is coming down in sheets now behind us, just south of us, over the river. It really came in just as they concluded. Michigan Avenue traffic is obviously still closed heading north because the protesters are still in the streets.
Yeah.
And based on where I can see the police presence, they're not much further past us.
Yeah.
They are about a block north of us, and then the police presence will continue to trail just to keep the cars off and to keep people safe.
Yeah. Protests in general don't typically happen for positive reasons or because of positive things. But if you're going to look at some positives for this, it seemed well organized from the organizers. It seemed as though people were venting their frustrations. They were sharing their thoughts. There certainly was the messaging. It looked as though the police had that part of it under control, and it seemed peaceful, right? Which is what you're hoping for when all of these elements come together.
It really did seem peaceful. Obviously, the Chicago police have done a fantastic job in being prepared to allow them their right to protest and do so peacefully. And based on what we were seeing by our location, it does not look like they have any intention of deviating. The sidewalks were clear.
Well, some of the issues here, because there isn't really a shopping presence here where we are at Tribune Tower, and the organizer had mentioned one of their goals, one of the main goals, was disrupt shopping a little bit further north down Michigan Avenue. So you wonder when they get to that point, if like how they're going to do, if it's just the mere presence is going to disrupt it, certainly will raise awareness, or if they're going to actively get involved with the stores.
Yeah, let's go to Susan Berkus and see where she is now. Susan, you're out on the street. Where exactly are you?
Well, we're all the way up at Superior, a very vocal group here up front chanting that this is Black Friday, and have witnessed some of the protesters yelling at various members of the Chicago police, various insults, and the police, of course, just doing their jobs and not firing back or contributing to any of that. But very vocal group. We're almost up to Chicago, but it is still, by and large, peaceful. Some insults being hurled, but nothing that you wouldn't expect in a situation like this.
Have they been able to get out onto the sidewalks, or have they really been contained more on the actual street?
Well, where they're on the street and on the sidewalks, you've just got a parade of Chicago police on their bicycle. And there are still some folks trying to do their Black Friday shopping and some, pedestrian traffic. But by and large, it's the Chicago Police Department on their bikes on the sidewalk, and Michigan Avenue is where the action is at.
Now, we know that their main goal and destination was Water Tower Place, of course, you know, where everybody goes to shop at some point when they're in Chicago, especially tourists. Do we know what they plan on doing beyond that?
No, we don't know, and we're just about there. In fact, we're approaching the old Water Tower. So once we get to the actual Water Tower Place, which is the scene of the Black Friday shopping, of course, here on Michigan Avenue, I would almost venture to say that that's when we'll have some of the keynote speakers. But I'm not sure. I'll keep you posted.
All right, Susan, we'll check back in with you. Thank you so much for your reporting. Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal sitting in with you, sitting in for Bill and Wendy. They will return to your airways here on WGN on Monday. More with us after this on WGN.
720 WGN, Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley in on Black Friday, talking news and also, of course, everything going on with Black Friday. And one of the things going on, we've got Susan Berkus still out there on the scene moving with the protest.
Yeah, Susan, tell us what's going on where you're at.
Well, we've landed right in front of Water Tower Place, and that's where people are amassed right now. Various people on megaphones making speeches, looking at some signs saying capitalism is what killed Laquan. Lots of people talking at once. It's hard to kind of sort through it and kind of understand what everybody's saying. Lots of folks here, heavy police presence, and they have shut off most of the entrances into and out of Water Tower Place.
The protesters have, or the Water Tower
the
people?
Police.
Okay. Oh, the police have.
Chicago
okay.
Police. Yeah, there's a line of Chicago police on bikes and on foot all around Water Tower Place, and folks who are in Water Tower Place are in there, and we're out here, and the doors are locked, at least temporarily.
All right. Do they have the blue barricades up, or they've locked the doors and they're just trying to protect those businesses?
They've locked the doors. It looks like some people are starting to be able to get into and out of Macy's. Not the blue barricades. They've got some white barricades, and again, a couple lines of police officers. Some on bikes and, behind the officers on bikes, we've got officers on foot.
Susan, is it possible that they're trying to just prevent the protest, for at least portions of it maybe, from actually moving inside of Water Tower Place?
I believe so, because I had seen a group of protesters try to go into that very main entrance into the lobby of Water Tower Place. Most assuredly remains closed right now. And I would venture to say that things, the mood here, it's almost starting to break up and people moving in different directions, but still not over yet. Still some speakers, lots of television cameras, folks taking pictures, but it appearing to disorganize, at least to an extent.
Yeah, there was a year or so ago, there was a frequent problem along Michigan Avenue, very often in Water Tower Place, where they were having the gangs come in and loot, where they would just, like, you know, 20 to 30 people would come in and just kind of, when everybody's shoplifting, you can't do anything, they'd catch one or two. And so I feel like they're a little bit quicker with those door locks than they could be just because they have experience in this. Susan, thank you so much for your reports and for traveling along, and then let us know if something develops in the meantime.
Oh, will do, Hannah.
Thank you so much. We are going to take a very, very quick break. Come back. We have a special guest with us talking about an incredibly great movement, Giving Tuesday. That'll be
some positive things happening for sure. Delia Coleman will be joining us in just a few minutes.
Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today for Bill and Wendy for the next couple of minutes. They'll be back on Monday on WGN. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal. Dane, we have been reporting on the protests that have been going up Michigan Avenue, and yep. I feel like we need something happy.
Well,
although that wasn't terrible.
Well, no. There was a peaceful protest, and I think if it's going to happen, that is exactly the way that you want it to happen. Of course, we'll keep you up to date here on WGN Radio with all of those things. But, you know, Giving Tuesday coming up, right?
Yes.
We're going to kind of prime the pump for Giving Tuesday with a giving moment.
We're giving something away. And, you know, Bill has been saying how much trouble he and I were getting in for giving away a certain thing.
You guys have been on house arrest, right, since then.
Well, and then Jimmy DeCastro shows up today, yeah. And I think it was to try to prevent me, but he just walked away. He was standing outside the studio, and now he walked away, so now I feel like we can do this. Get in line, people. 312-981-7200. We are giving away a black and red with white mini lights artificial desktop holiday tree courtesy of Tree Time, with over 200 beautiful, realistic, artificial Christmas trees and thousands of unique ornaments and decorations. Visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. Let's go with caller number, Dane.
5-7-72
Caller number 5 takes this tree off of our hands. Thank you to Tree Time for that. And now we want to get to our fine guest who's been so patient.
If you didn't win this tree, then maybe you can find a way to have someone else give you one. I don't think that's possible.
No.
Or you could try to maybe go out and buy one, then give it to someone else and pay it forward. Giving Tuesday is coming up.
It's great.
You know, and just as though Black Friday is all about kind of getting deals for yourself and your family, Giving Tuesday is, you know, at this time of year, a way to really concentrate and give back. Excited to have Delia Coleman. She's the Director of Strategic Initiatives for Giving Tuesday campaign. Delia, welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you, and we appreciate you coming on the day. This is kind of a holiday in itself because so many people just take Thursday and Friday and they're like, yeah, it's the whole weekend. So thank you for giving us your time.
Taking some time.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Now, tell us about Giving Tuesday, because up until a few years ago, I didn't know that this was a thing. Tell us a little bit about the history of the movement.
Sure. It is fairly new. You are not alone. Giving Tuesday was an effort that was started by the 92nd Street Y in New York, along with the UN Foundation. And really what the founders wanted to do just about 4 years ago was to find a way at this time of year, after everyone has been spending this entire weekend, find a way to generate generosity. So Giving Tuesday was born. It started very locally, then it went across the country, and now it's a truly global movement. Multiple countries around the world are rallying their own residents to give back to their favorite causes, as well as volunteer for their favorite organizations all around the world. And we're happy to be part of this National Giving Day here in Illinois. And this is Illinois' second campaign. We started it last year. So it is fairly new, and we're really happy to have an opportunity to get the word out.
It's so great, too, that you mentioned not only giving of gifts, time, effort, but also just, you know, being a part of different causes and giving up your time, right? Being able to show up and help out. Now, do you help people kind of, some people want to be generous and want to help out and support things. They just don't know where to start. Do you guys help kind of steer them in the right direction?
Yeah, one of the things that we have this year is we have a website, ilgive.com, and we have over 500 organizations participating in this effort this year. And what ordinary folks can do, they can go to our website, ilgive.com, give.com and look for organizations that they might already be aware of, or if they're unaffiliated with an organization, they can find their favorite cause. If you're interested in animals, find an animal shelter. If you're interested in youth and after-school programs, you can find organizations that do that. And then figure out what they are doing on Giving Tuesday. We have a list of ongoing events that are happening on December 1st, so they can look for those opportunities, as well as give if that's what they want. And I really want to emphasize this point. It's really not about the dollar amount, even though, yes, we are trying to get $6 million raised in one day. But it really is about time and effort and really caring about these organizations that do so much to strengthen our communities.
We've talked, you know, about different organizations, different efforts, and how oftentimes support is needed throughout the year, even though this may be the time that we focus on it. So, but when it comes to those opportunities to give your time and volunteer, is there a way to commit to that on Tuesday, but then schedule it for a time that may be helpful not only for that organization, right? They don't want just everybody there on Tuesday and no one there on Wednesday. And then also too, to kind of schedule it when people can do it.
Yeah, our website, we have a page dedicated to donors where they can pledge what they want to donate, if they want to donate dollars, if they want to donate time. And then we can reach out to the organizations that we know of that are participating and kind of be like a matchmaker and help them make that connection. So we encourage people to visit the ilgive.com website to see how they can connect to organizations they care about. And we can make that happen. There are throughout the year, there are, especially the early part of 2016, there is that whole day of service, you know, during Martin Luther King Day. And so that's another opportunity for people to find organizations to volunteer with. But certainly IL Give is an opportunity for us to connect people with the causes that they care about, and we can help them do that.
What is so important, everything you said is hugely important, but I love that you said that no amount is too small, because it really does add up. A dollar per person makes a huge difference in the long run. And the fact that you can kind of filter through things of your interest or things that affect you directly and find an organization to contribute to that you feel is going to make a difference in either helping to prevent somebody going through something you might have lived through as far as a disease. It really is just, it's fantastic that it's so well organized, especially with 14,000 charitable organizations here in Illinois.
You mentioned it too, Hannah, there's a cause that you're supportive. Like, let's say it's, you know, animal rights, or let's say it's pets or animal rescue, or maybe even an environmental cause. I mean, there's so many different things available.
Exactly. And this is happening all over the state. Certainly because we just rolled out this campaign last year, we are very Chicago-centric. But this year we've been connecting to communities outside of the metropolitan Chicago area. And it's been fantastic to see local United Ways giving. And even if there are organizations that people care about and are connected to that aren't currently participating, there's still time for people to reach out to their homegrown organizations and say, hey, there's this great thing happening on Giving Tuesday on December 1. You should be a part of it. I think you should sign up, because we're taking all comers, you know, all the way through December 1. We really want to see that number get met. But more importantly, we really want to give as many opportunities as possible for the very generous people of Chicago and across the state to connect to really great organizations. I can't say enough about these organizations and how much they do in neighborhoods all over the state.
What's the growth been? I know the goal this year is $6 million to be donated on this one day, Giving Tuesday, but what are the plans going forward?
Well, this is a multi-year effort. This is our second year doing it, so we definitely want to do this again next year. But right after Giving Tuesday, what we then want to do is to encourage these organizations to really build relationships with these new and recurring donors, so that these donors don't just give one time a year, but build relationships with these causes for the rest of the year, so that they can volunteer more, so that they can spread the word and really talk about how a homeless shelter really impacts their neighborhood, or how animal rescue really helps, you know, improve the quality of life of kids and families and seniors, et cetera. We are going to be looking for ways to help educate donors. So this is really a new campaign that isn't just about giving money, but also talking about the value of philanthropy, what philanthropy means, how you can do little personal things in your own community that are philanthropic, but really are more about just the transaction of dollars. So stay tuned. We'll be putting all of these things all on our website throughout the year. And then again, leading up to another Giving Tuesday in 2016.
Understanding that there is a financial goal and that this month really is so important to the budgets of these nonprofits, are there places for people to find on the Giving Tuesday website, which is
ILGive.com.
ILGive.com. Can they find volunteer opportunities as well?
Sadly, we don't have a page specifically for volunteering, but there is an events page where people can find local and events that are happening across the state and across the city. I think as we build out this campaign, that volunteering aspect is coming, but we don't have capacity for that right now.
Well, we'll look forward
to
it.
We will certainly do our best to connect people who talk to us about that with opportunities as we, you know, kind of see what organizations we have joining us, and we can make that match happen.
ILGive.com is the website. Such important work. We've all talked about how important this time of year is for so many organizations to have someone helping to focus those stories, tell the stories of the causes, the organizations, and giving those opportunities and sharing is so important. So Delia Coleman, thanks so much for being on WGN today. And ILGive.com. Stay tuned and give.
Thank you so much. Give everyone. Thanks again.
Of course. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal will be back right after this to turn the show over, filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Pass the torch.
Pass the torch. They'll be back on Monday, and we'll be back after this. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal wrapping it up today for us as we hand it to Robin Randy.
Hello there.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I like saying that.
It's officially afternoon now.
It is officially afternoon. We want to thank all of our guests today and Bob Kessler, who sat in studio with us as we brought the news of the day to you all.
An interesting and eventful and also uneventful, which was a good thing show, but exciting stuff on a Black Friday.
We will follow the protesters as they make their way up Michigan Avenue. I guess they've passed Water Tower Place and they are progressing through the city. So if there are any street closures or any news that takes place out of this protest, we'll give you the latest as it happens. And then everybody put on your thinking caps and think about your Christmas music secret shames, the songs that you're embarrassed to say that you like.
The like guilty, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
That would be one of them.
Guilty pleasures.
I'm going to tell you right now, I am team Wonderful Christmas Time. I think that is one of Paul McCartney's underrated classics.
Oh, God!
And that of all of Paul McCartney's musical output over the past 50 years, perhaps Back to the Egg is his best record. Right there. That's my controversial comment for the day.
Before we get sucked into this, Dane Neal and Hannah Stanley, as we've mentioned, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder will be back with
They'll
you
back on Monday.
I turn it over to you.